You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We're going to be speaking something important this morning, which has to do with the managing of the things that we have. And it's a very important conversation, a very difficult one sometimes. We're having a conversation with my mom yesterday, and I was saying, hey, Khotata, sometimes you know, I know in other, there are so many Christian churches, let's start here, okay, many different Christian churches, but, you know, some people will feel that I can't take the money and give it to, firstly, it's always about money, first and foremost. One of the misconceptions, I think, about this idea of stewardship, but also then that, how do you take money to the church and then the family struggles? Does taking money to the church mean that the family will not struggle at all? And then we went into like marriage and how if you marry someone not of your faith, some of the issues that you might experience could also then be how you don't agree with how money should be used in the home. And so someone, there we go, we've got you back.
Yeah.
So while Abudi Rogers just gets ready to try with the headphones, and then as we're conversing, the issue of you find yourself in a situation where unfortunately you and your partner don't necessarily have 100% the same values. Then I'm assuming that this issue of tithes and offerings would be one of the biggest issues that becomes a concern in the home, especially when money matters are not all that much. So that becomes another problem. And then the third point that we then raised was that of when people are stealing money in the church, it makes it so difficult for honest Christians to want to give back to God, because we don't see God in the physical form, but the church is a representative of God. And so it becomes difficult when you're seeing this abuse of finances, or when you're hearing rumors about the abuse of finances. And I think that's why we find ourselves in this predicament. But yeah, I do want to also just remind you that it's not just about money. There's more to this conversation than that. Okay, Rogers, let's hear if we can hear you better this time.
Yes, good morning. I don't know if you can hear me well.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Perfect. God is good all the time. All right, and here we go. Amen indeed. So money has been a big deal in this stewardship concept, I will call it. And even though people don't have much money, they often feel bad about not bringing money to the church. I know I do. And not only that, you get disappointed when you see money in the church not being used correctly. More so, there is more to stewardship than just money, which I think is the one of the elephants in the room. So let's start there with a bit of a definition. What exactly is stewardship, Abudi Rogers?
Yes, I think that will be a very good place to start with. When we look at this idea of stewardship, I would like to think about it in the way that the Bible uses it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, it's more, I like how you started that it's more about it's more about tithing. It has a bigger picture. And when we look at where the word steward appears or stewardship, we find it mostly like in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke.
Okay.
And that's where I would like to define it from, especially like from the book of Luke 16, from verses 1 to 12. It talks about taking care of that which does not belong to you. So you are a servant of one who is greater than yourself. And so you have resources that you need to manage in a specific way. And when now your master comes and asks you how you have managed your resources, you then have to give an account. You have to provide feedback on that. So we get the idea that being a steward is like being a chamberlain. We consider ourselves as daughters and king and sons of the king. So our king being God and us being chamberlains, being the ones who take care of his property here on earth. And so It basically speaks about management, and these are the management in terms of our finances, of the things that God has given us.
Interesting that you mentioned a king, and it's kind of like you've already put the hierarchy in place. Am I hearing you right when I interpret what you're saying as we are the stewards, and we are the stewards to God? Steward, basically, in very simple English, you said manager, you said chamberlain, but manager would be like maybe the more easier English word to use. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. That's very correct.
Okay. No, that's a good one. Then let's talk about what stewardship covers, this management that we have. What are we supposed to be managing?
Yes. So in terms of our context as Christians, we have to recognize that there are a lot of things that God, our Master, has given us. And even though I'm not going to mention everything that the Lord has given us, but maybe I'd categorize it in two groups, that there are the intangible things or things that we cannot touch. And these are things like time. These are the things like knowledge. So those are the kind of things that God has given us to manage. So I wanted to start with time because it is one important aspect which covers all these other things that we have been given to take care of. So like right now, the clock is ticking. Mm-hmm. If we do not use our time wisely, time is passing and we have other things which we need to attend to. So in us recognizing that we are stewards, we need to realize that we have been given time. And I like how Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 tells us that there is a season for everything, a time and a purpose to everything under heaven. So the second one, maybe I would also want to bring to our attention of the things that we have been given as stewards is a stewardship of the truths that God has given to his people or his church. So there are times where we need to speak out the truth. There are times where there are things that are happening around us which need to be put across to those who are ignorant. And so God has to find a certain type of people to be stewards of those kind of truths. And then also we have stewards also of our health. The Bible says very well in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, that our bodies are not our own. The bodies that we might think are ours, they are not our own. We have not made them. It is God who has made them. So he has given them to us that we should look after them. So we become stewards in that sense. And so that means then it calls us to how then should we look after our bodies. And then the last two, we are stewards of our possessions. We have got lands. We have got cars, we have got property that God has given to us, which we need to then watch out how we use these things so that we might be able to give him an account. And then the last one is one which is very common to many of us, especially when we speak about stewardship. It is the stewardship of money, which is something that you also spoke about in the beginning. So money is something that God has given us to be able to use wisely. So if we do not use it in the way that it's meant to be used, then we are being unfaithful stewards.
I want to be very honest with you and say I really appreciate this list. I think it's one of the most beautiful lists I've heard regarding stewardship. Stewardship, what are we supposed to manage? We're supposed to manage very well our time, truth, health, possessions and money that we have. Yeah. Ikar, we can unpack each and every single one just a little bit, ne? So that people understand, what do you mean health? What do you mean possessions? Please, maybe if you can just take 2 minutes unpacking each of them in a little bit more detail.
Yes. And thank you for that opportunity. So let me start with the time, as I had started. So whether we like it or not, the time that we spend, if we do not spend it well, in the future, we get to reflect back on it, and it reflects in regret.
Eesh.
And so we don't want to find ourselves being at that point where we wish that we would have made certain choices 5 years ago.
Mm.
In as much as God might give us another opportunity to make our wrongs right, but we need to recognize that we could actually prevent ourselves from putting ourselves into trouble. So that's how much we need to take seriously of our time.
Yeah.
If I'm learning in school, if I have the opportunity to learn now, when I'm older, it becomes even difficult. Not that I will not have the opportunity, I would, but it becomes way difficult
mm-hmm.
for me to start learning the things that I should have learned when I was young. And then now when it comes to guarding the truth, as we know, there are many things that are going on in this world. We see a lot of violence happening. And in case we do not know, there are things which people do not know,
mm-hmm.
and innocently so. And mm-hmm. so that's why God has to use someone to speak on his behalf, to share that truth, where I think all of us were once in that position where we were once reached out to someone. It can be truths, especially when it comes to the Sabbath, where we thought that, you know, anything, we can just worship God the way we want. But those are the kind of things that if we are to speak about, we are being faithful stewards of his truth. And then now also when it comes to our bodies, the stewardship of health, we have to recognize that the choices that we make in the lifestyles that we live are going to impact the way that our bodies will reflect in terms of our lives. So in as much as God is the one who gives us life, we need to recognize that we have a choice in the decisions that we make for the things that we put inside our bodies, and also the way that we take care of our bodies. So that is basically how we would think about our stewardship of health. And then the possessions, you know, we have a certain level of ownership.
Yeah.
If you are a child and you own a pen, and your parent, you have to always constantly go back to your parent and ask for a pen which to replace the one which you have lost, I believe your parent then in that case would then see you as someone who is very irresponsible. So we have a certain level of ownership of possessions, and we have to look after whatever little possessions that we have, whatever great possessions that we have, to be recognized as good stewards. And then lastly, on the one of money, I would like to say that, you know, God gives us money. All the money that we have comes from God, especially as believers.
Oh.
So we have to express it, express that we are stewards in a certain way, that first of all, we have to prioritize. We later on can talk about it, but we have to then show that we are good stewards by reserving a certain portion for himself. We know that in as much as we have got needs on this earth, the first need that we need to recognize is to put God first. So that's how I would expand all these points of stewardship that I've mentioned so far.
We're having a conversation with Abuti Rogers Nkausu, who is a student of the Word of God, and he's sharing some of the principles he has learned with regards this morning to a particular teaching in the Bible, which is how we manage resources that we are given. And he spoke about the stewardship of time, you know, just maybe to summarize it in how I have understood it. Basically, once time is gone, you cannot recover it again. He then unpacked the stewardship of truth, saying, well, in a nutshell, when you know better, you do better. The stewardship of health, basically being that quality of life is important because you were bought at a price, your body, you are not your own. And I think something we need to consider is not to be a burden to the people around us by being negligent about how we live, In case we get sick and we then need, whether it's money, whether it's care, and by so doing, obviously, it means we are taking resources that could have been used for other purposes. And then he spoke about possessions. You heard him say that all money comes from God. So with the possessions we have, we need to be responsible. When we have been gifted something, we need to be responsible. And I think this is where the story of the talents come in, the parable of the talents comes in, that multiply what you have. Don't lose it. Add to it. About the money, though, we've got some questions that are coming through about whether it matters where you get the money. You said, consider that God is the one who gave you the money. You are Christian. Yes, we are Christian. We call ourselves Christian. So does it matter where the money comes from? I don't know if you need examples, but I think you can probably think of many places that you could get money, and maybe not always in the way that most people would deem, or some people might deem, immoral.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. And that's the reason why I had said that we need to recognize that when it comes to the stewardship of money, we are stewards of, or stewardship of all these things I've mentioned. We are stewards of the things that God has given us. Because, for example, like you do well to say, if I could come up with an example, if someone steals money from whatever bank or cash in transit haste, in as much as they might think that God has given them that money, but the truth of the matter is that God has not given you that money.
But see, God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah, but in that case, it does not really apply. It only applies when you have worked for the money. So you can't return a tithe from that which you have stolen. So we will not really expect someone who is unfaithful, who has obtained his means from illegitimate ways, to be able to return a tithe, to be able to use his money wisely, because already that which he has gotten has not been gotten in a way that the Lord allows. Or you that then would also then extend it to things which the Lord will not also want us to have, you know, in and of themselves. We will not be required to be stewards of things which God, like in terms of health, if you are given things which are not supposed to be consumed, you can't expect to say that you are going to be a steward of those things. So that's where now we need to be able to invite God to help us discern, to help us see whether the things that we claim are things that he has given to us are really the case, that they are from him. But if not, then we need to separate ourselves from those things.
Okay. And I think I do like examples sometimes, because they bring the truth alive. They make it more practical. So I do have examples that I want to add to the conversation about money, since we are now on money. I think money is the most difficult one. Not that it's the most difficult one to do. Well, because I do think everything you mentioned is really, I think they're all equally important, but you'll tell me whether there are some that are more important than others, because the churches seem to speak a lot about money than all these other ones that you have mentioned here. So it almost sounds like money has a pedestal. And if that's the case, then let's go through some examples. People we might consider ourselves Christians, but when you look at where money comes from, sometimes you said stealing, you gave that example. Someone might not be stealing, someone might be working, okay? But it might be the nature of the job that they have. Let's go through some examples. Someone starts a platform online, and on that platform, maybe, I'm sure, I hope you have heard of OnlyFans, and maybe they showing their toes and those kinds of things to a private community, and they might making money. Some people might be doing more than that, of course, but they never, ever, ever go to the sin of intimacy with anyone, okay? But they are they're making money through a channel like that. Not taking money from anyone. They are using their own time to make this money, grow this platform. You find, I heard that one time there was a conversation that was had about people who might be in business selling, and you might open a tavern or in your supermarket that you have. Part of the things that you do sell on the aisles include alcoholic beverages, include tobacco products. You don't ingest those things yourself, but you do get revenue from that. Maybe you don't even sell them. Maybe you just work for one of these companies. You're Christian. That's where you got a job. Your job might even just being an accountant, okay? It's not even that you are in the manufacturing bit of it. Law is another very interesting one where you represent people. And the law, people think that lawyers are liars. I don't think lawyers are liars. I don't believe that lawyers are liars. But do they take advantage of the loopholes within the legal system? Yes, they do. So whether it's, you know, technical glitches that you take advantage of, or in how you argue your matter, the other side did not reason things in a particular way, you use that to your advantage. The laws were made by those who made the laws, and which is how we end up with case law. This is how we end up with precedents. That's how we actually end up with laws improving themselves because of case law, for example, where a matter was argued in court. You are Christian. All you did, you didn't say this person didn't do this thing, but you did use the laws to mitigate this person's sentence that they got from the judgment. This is how people are making money. So the idea of how do you make money is not, it's not, I think it's so much more broad. And that's why I want us to like consider more options of, it's not just stealing or you were acting, and in that movie or in that show where you were acting, you had to pretend to drink. And I say to you, but it wasn't alcohol. It's literally red grape juice. But like, yes, but... But it looked like you were drinking, and even if it was not alcohol, the perception is it was. But people know that we are acting, we are working, and we know that when we work, we don't actually drink at work. So based on that, let's go back to then this issue of, does it really matter how you make your money? If a person won the lotto, does the church still not want you to give a cut of that money? I'm saying the church, but you know what I mean. 10% goes to God.
Yes.
10%, yeah. Whatever the other amount that you give for offering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really a good question that you have asked. I want us to think about it in this way, that first of all, when we engage in different forms of employment, we need to first ask ourselves, what is it that we are doing, and what is the purpose for which now we are engaging in whatever form of employment, and is it what the Lord would want us to engage in? I like that from the beginning you spoke about the parable of the talents, and what we see there is that in the Lord looking at this three group of people that were entrusted different talents. The last one is one who hid his talent in the soil. And when his Lord came back to ask him, what have you done with your talent?
Mm-hmm.
He thought that in him hiding the talent, he was doing the Lord a favor. So even though he was ignorant, he should have found himself in a position where he was to find out, is this really what the Lord would have wanted me to do? Because that's where now comes the element of probably we think that maybe we are not doing something which might displease the Lord, therefore the Lord will just condone it. But we need to recognize that there is an element of introspection. There is an element of really finding out that in what I'm engaging in, am I doing something that the Lord would approve of? Or am I doing something which involves some level of dishonesty in it? So, for example, if you are then saying you are going to be acting and you are acting as if you are drinking alcohol, and then all of a sudden you know that, no, I'm not really drinking alcohol, I'm just
I'm acting,
drinking grape juice. So then what are you saying about that? What you are then saying is that you are the one who knows. So the idea of stewardship, we should think about it first as something that should speak to us as individuals first. You are the one who knows that you are dishonest. You are the one who should introspect. Other people, you rightly say that other people do not know. But because you are the one who is deceiving the other people, you are then now being the one who is dishonest in that. So we need to live out lives that are honest. There needs to be an element of honesty in our lives. So even if in other things, even though someone is not stealing, someone might be going about doing things which they might regard as innocent, or things that in other eyes might be appearing as innocent. We need to put on the lens of God. How does God see what I'm doing? Is it right for me to do, or is it wrong? So I think that's the answer I would give on that one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. It almost sounds like then the principle is personal, and each person needs to determine themselves with God. Is this okay for me to do? And it's not a standard. All of us, this is what you must do. Otherwise, what you are doing is, you know, we don't have to be like the Pharisees and force people to behave in a particular, I don't know. As you respond, maybe you can also touch on whether there are some stewardship values, okay, whether there are some things that we manage that are more important than others. Is there such a thing?
Okay, so first of all, I want to start by commenting on that point of we can't really have a list of things that we would say this is right, do this, do that. We can't go about doing that. I like that the Lord gave us a mind. He gave us principles in His Word that if we study those principles, He is the one who is going to be able to speak to us in us assessing whatever situation that we are in. We are able to see that this is where the Lord would want us to go. So the principles are sometimes clear, sometimes not that clear. We just need to put the effort in finding them out. Yes. So, but otherwise, if we do make that effort, we definitely not find ourselves in the wrong. So now, as to whether there are other stewardship principles that are more important than others, I would not really say that there are those which are important than others. But what I would say is that it's an issue of priority. It's an issue of what you put first. And I like examples as well. So for this one, I would like to use the example of money. Or money and time, that when you receive your salary or stipend, whatever it is that you receive, what is the first thought that comes to your mind about how to use that money? Because if you don't prioritize God first, then you're going to have a problem.
Why?
Because now, if you, for example, receive money, and decide to use that money for maybe something that you
have planned.
Maybe let's say, for example, you receive 2,000. You receive 2,000, and you decide
someone.
To say, no, maybe my phone, maybe I owe someone, or my phone broke down, and then what do you do? You go and
fix.
You go and look for a phone first. So what then happens is that you end up now using most of the money for your priorities. And then after this change, what do you do? You then say, no, I think for the remaining one, let me then use this one for my offering or my tithe. But then that would have you robbing God, because
what's the problem with
you
that?
Have not prioritized him. The problem is that you then place yourselves in a position where you are tempted not to give back a 10% of what the Lord has asked you to give.
Is
that's
God
where now comes
me?
These issues of, you know, we serve a merciful God. Mm. So I would not want to paint a picture of him as a God who is always waiting to punish us. We have made a lot of mistakes in life. So I want us to be very clear on something, that the Lord would want us to be obedient, to be faithful to that which he has revealed to us. And if we then persist in not wanting to obey him, we displease him. Let me just put it like that. And I don't think someone would like it to be displeased. So would rather, we are safer. Let me say it like this. We are safer placing ourselves in a position where we always please God.
Why?
If we place ourselves in a position where... yeah.
So this bothers me. Because
mm-hmm.
when we speak like this, when Christians speak like this, and mm-hmm. they
yes.
go and explain God's emotions from a place of anger and displeasure, I feel like it's a wrong perception of God as someone who whose emotions are changed based on what people do. I don't know about you, but in psychology, it taught me that you must not allow other people to impact your emotions. You are in control of your own emotions. So I can't say Rogers made me angry. No. He might have done something that was annoying to you, but you chose to be angry. You didn't have to be angry. So, like, we make God seem like, I feel that we make God seem like he's got no sense of emotional intelligence whatsoever. And it also makes it seem like he's a tyrant. Like, oh my, if you displease God, you need to be very careful. Why? I mean, you rightly so, you spoke about how God is a God of mercy. And I'm not saying you must just go around taking advantage. I think one of the things that people, and that's at the beginning I shared about how we see people not using money in the church well. Remember, when you go to church with money, it's not God right there in front by the pulpit that you are giving the money to. You're giving the money to people who are managing this money. And the people who are managing this money sometimes don't even manage it well, which is why some people say, I would rather do good acts by giving the money to people who I know genuinely need the money. And I go and I do those things where I see how the money was actually used, as opposed to giving a system money and people in that system are corrupt. You know, those are some of the views that people have shared. So, I struggle with the idea that, like, if you don't give God the money first, it's like eventually something is going to happen. And I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I think the best way of answering this kind of issues... sorry about the wind. I never pictured it to be so windy. I don't know if you can still hear me very well.
We can hear you still, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. So I'd like us to consider this text from the book of Malachi chapter 2, because Malachi is one such person who answers these issues in a very clear way. Mm. Malachi chapter 1, verse 8.
Okay.
It says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Says the Lord of hosts. So in simple terms, God here is asking that if you are to give a gift to a president or a governor, a gift of an animal, for example, if a governor wants to throw a party, a president wants to throw a party, and you offer him a cow that is sick, Will he be pleased? Will you, if you offer him a cow that is about to die? I believe through our thinking, we would then see that, of course, he would not be pleased. Why? It's because no one wants to receive a gift of something that is faulty, or something that is not working. If you receive a phone that is not working, it just doesn't add up. So basically, God is using this question to then speak to his people about himself, because the challenge that he had with his people here is that they had prioritized their own houses. He's speaking to people who were supposed to have rebuilt his temple. He was speaking to people who were supposed to have restored the services that were happening in Jerusalem. And now he's saying, you have prioritized your houses. You have prioritized other things. And you make it look like that is insignificant to me. I mean, if we ourselves as human beings have to do good things to each other to make ourselves happy, then how much more does God need the same kind of service, or even better, he needs the first priority.
But that's the thing, it's not a need. For God, it's not a need.
I don't know how you have seen it, but that's what the book of Malachi, the verse that I've just read, that's what it says. So unless, I think what would be helpful to us is if we are to come up with biblical ways of proving such points. I think that would be very helpful to people. Because, I mean, naturally, if people are in love, if it's a couple, they live to please each other, isn't it? Mm. And pleasing each other makes themselves happy. So it's out of love. Maybe I think that's why we need to be careful. It's not like a tyrant kind of picture to say, no, do this, do this, do this. No, he doesn't want that. In fact, he says in the same book of Malachi, if you are going to do it because you are being forced, or you are being angry, no, it says you should do it out of a willing heart. So I think that's where now we need to see that it's out of the element of love that we are to do these actions.
Okay.
And I think maybe just to touch on that, I wanted to make a second example of the priorities to also speak about time. You see that when we are speaking of our priorities or being good stewards of time, I like to use the example of us waking up in the morning. The one whom we give our first time to when we wake up also just shows our priorities. So for example, if we wake up and then most of us struggle with this, that most of the time we go to social media, and with many people, this is where they struggle, because once you are on social media, then your whole time is gone in the morning. Or the next thing that you then have to see yourself doing is getting dressed for work or getting dressed for school. And then you forget to involve God within your day. So if you don't prioritize your time properly to give your first, I don't want to also say the amount of time that you need to give to God, but you need to give a certain portion of your first time should be with God. And your last time also during the day, at the end of the day, should be with God.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. All right. I need us to wrap it up. Maybe we can, you please just share principles on how we can each improve on being good stewards, even if we think that we are.
So, principles of being a good steward.
Yeah.
I'd like us to read Luke chapter 16. Verse 10, it says that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So that's the first principle. Be faithful to the little that you need to be faithful to. So if you waste 5 minutes of your time, it grows into wastefulness of even greater time. So if you waste your 5 rands, you waste your 2 rands, in you neglecting those little amounts of money, you then get to realize those 5 rands accumulate bit by bit and eventually reach thousands. So if we are neglectful in the least, we are definitely preparing ourselves to be neglectful even in that which is great. So pay attention to the little details. The little details go a long way. We actually, some in our minds, are quite ignorant to some extent of the influence of our decisions. So even in terms of health, like we spoke about, also these other aspects, if you are going to neglect a small portion of your health, you never know how much it would affect you into the future. As you look back, you would have realized that certain things that are happening to you are because of the little choices that you did not make, which were right. So then the other principle is that we need to assess if what we have, the resources that we have, are we using them for their intended purpose? So if we are not, then definitely we need to improve on that. And then the last two is that we need to, connected with the second one, we need to then see that, are we having any things that we are not using at all? So this is the idea communicated in the parable of the talents, that are we hiding talents? Are we being selfish? Are we hiding something that we are supposed to put out there? And one thing I would like to think about on this point is, for example, with music. Mm-hmm. Are we, when with the music that, if you have a talent of singing, yes, if you have a talent of singing, are you hiding that talent? Are you not putting it out? People are waiting to be blessed by your voice out there. So if you are hiding it under your throat, then it's not benefiting anyone. So
okay.
Then the last one is in principles of stewardship, is what we see from the book of Psalm 119 verse 33. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So then we see a very simple principle here, is that we should ask the Lord to teach us. Ignorance, what we see from the parable of the talents, is ignorance to some extent does not give you an excuse for not using your talents wisely. So we need to ask the Lord that, Lord, if there is a place where I am ignorant, please teach me and show me what you need me to do.
Wow. Yeah. No, this was really wholesome. Thank you so much, Abuti Rogers. I really enjoyed conversing with you this morning, and it will definitely be lovely for us to do another one in the near future. I really appreciate your patience and how you went through each and every single aspect of the study. May God bless you as you continue to grow in faith with Him.
Amen. Thank you very much to you too, and also your team there, for giving me this opportunity. And by God's grace, we will be able to meet again.
Amen and amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.